Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Come to the final moments of both these two great personalities. During the final moments of both men, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the intensity of pain reached its peak. The daughters of both men were present with them during their final moments, and they expressed their grief at the situation. Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha and Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha were present respectively. The ahadith point out the final words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Allahumma bir rafiq al-a'la ma'alladhina an'am Allahu alayhim minan nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada was-salihin. O Allah, unite me, connect me with those people who were blessed by Allah from amongst the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the virtuous. Hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. Another riwayat from Tabaqat ibn Sa'd rahmatul alayh holds that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, with the highest friend in heaven, Allahumma bir rafiq al-a'la, with the highest friend in Allah in heaven, with those people who were blessed by Allah from the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the virtuous. And how good are these companions? And in the end, the Prophet's final words were sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated, Allahumma ar-rafiq al-a'la, O Allah, I choose to be with you, the highest companion, O Allah, the highest companion. I need your companionship. The supplication which comes in hadith, tawaffani musliman wa alhikni bis-salihin, O my Lord, give me death as a Muslim and join me with the virtuous, is narrated from Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in his last moments. Death. The day of passing away is the same for both men. That is Monday. The entire city of Medina fell into a strange state of grief after the demise of each man. During burial, the resemblance depicts from the fact that both were buried in three cloths and laid on the same bed before burial. The burial took place at night for both men. Both men will rest in Riyadhul Jannah till the day of Qiyamah. The lifespan of both men is 63 years. At the time of death, neither personality left any inheritance nor a will. Just as both did not leave behind any personal items, they also left nothing in the Baitul Mal or the central treasury. Everything was spent on the Muslims. Just as the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, is the best of the Ummah after him, so is Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu the best of the Ummah after his predecessor Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The height of resemblance, all the dimensions detailed above make it clear that Hazrat Abu Bakr's life radiallahu anhu shared amazing resemblance to that of the prophets sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But were all these mere coincidences? made to be extracted from the pages of history? Not really, because everyone feels the connection. During the Hijrah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, reached Medina, people who were waiting eagerly for them stepped forth and started to shake Hazrat Abu Bakr's hands radiallahu anhu, thinking that he was the promised Prophet. He simply went on shaking hands, for he did not want people to tire the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he had already undergone the hardships of the long journey. When the sun started to come out, only then did people realize that the person who they thought was the Prophet was really not, as he covered his friend with the cloth over his head. Then it became clear as who the Prophet was and who was the follower. One can imagine the level of following the Sunnah that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu practiced, that no one was able to differentiate between the servant and the master. The speech, walk, talk, character, clothing, etc. bore so much resemblance that it became impossible for people to distinguish. Even the leading personalities among the companions would bear witness to this lifestyle of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. After death, his body was covered with a cloth, and Hazrat Ali karramallahu wajha came, and after reciting Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he said, Ya Abu Bakr, you were the true friend of the Prophet of Allah and the most similar to him in terms of character, habits, guidance, and benevolence and piety. Once, while standing on the minbar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself proclaimed that, O people, Abu Bakr is that person who never made me sad in my entire life, implying that he never went against the preference of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is worth analyzing that what really became the underlying cause of this intensity of similarity. Essentially, it was the intensity of love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hazrat Abu Bakr's heart that led to this. Because the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had engulfed his entire existence, his natural instinct had become that of the Prophet's sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had connected himself in such a manner to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that any action he performed automatically became endorsed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This intensity of love is depicted from the incident that once in a majlis, in a gathering, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam detailed three things that were most dear to him. After hearing this, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu immediately detailed three things. Upon the Prophet's inquisition sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, firstly, looking at your blessed face. These are the three things I love most. Looking at your blessed face. Second, spending my wealth on you. And third, that my daughter is married to you. Subhanallah. He detailed three things, but the central focus of all three things was the entity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of one's sheikh can never be expressed better than anyone's except for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The result of prophetic love, the result of this intense love and yearning became the Prophet's statement sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Whatever Allah had infused into my chest, I have infused that into Abu Bakr's chest. This is the nisbat-i-ittihadi. The love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had led to the capability being developed in Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to harness the prophetic knowledge that he infused into his heart. Sayyiduna Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu once saw a dream that rain was falling upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was near his feet, and the rain would flow unto him from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar saw himself radiallahu anhu standing nearby, and the drops of rain would fly over to him from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and soak him as well. When he woke up in the morning, he detailed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, "Umar, these were the wisdoms of prophethood that were falling like rain unto me due to Siddiq's intensity radiallahu anhu of resemblance to me. He was attracting most of the rain, and then you, because of your connection to him." Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fisani Rahmatul Alayh, while detailing the inner aspect of this, states, "Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhuma are the bearers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Further, he states, "It was as if Hazrat Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived on the same floor, and the difference is simply of the upper and the lower portions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam living in the upper portion, and Siddiq radiallahu anhu in the lower portion." So from that came the Siddiqi order of nisbat and tasawuf. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu obtained a special type of knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while Hazrat Ali karramallahu wajha obtained the knowledge of wilayat, sainthood, Allah's attainment, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus the people who obtained that knowledge from Sayyiduna Siddiq radiallahu anhu, they transferred that knowledge to others. Over time, this chain became known as the Siddiqi order of Nisba in Tasawuf. Later on, when another pious wali entered the chain, Khwaja Bahauddin Naqshbandi Bukhari rahimahullah, only then did this chain become known as the Naqshbandi order. However, the pioneer and leader of this order is none other than Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Rule of thumb: for the seekers of this path of tasawuf, the example of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the most perfect one. Firstly, such a salik should strive to attain perfection and intensity in the love of his sheikh. Secondly, he should adopt the sunnah habits in every aspect of life, because the imam of this order is Sayyiduna Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He attained the nisbat through this modus operandi. Thus it becomes a rule of thumb for everyone following him. Whoever does so shall definitely reach the destination of nisbah one day. So far we have been speaking about the nisbah. From here, Hazrat Maulana Zulfikar Naqshbandi, Damat Barakatuhum wa Afiyatuhum, he now goes into the second section, which is how to get that nisbat, attaining the nisbah. This is what begins from today. Attaining the nisbah. Allah Ta'ala has instilled the ability to attain the nisbah within every one of us. Everyone can attain it, but hard work and sincere yearning are prerequisites for it. Prophethood is something that is granted, but the light and the nur from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something to be earned and can be earned. Allah Ta'ala states, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who strive and make mujahada for us, for our sake, surely we shall give them hidayat and guide them unto our paths, pathways. Thus we know that the one who yearns for the nisba and strives, he shall never remain devoid of it. The noble friends of Allah, the honorable mashayikh, guide us in this line. There are some ways to attain the nisbah with ease, while there are some things that shall hinder advancement on this path. Both of these are outlined ahead. But before, it is necessary to denote what a sincere yearning means. The sincere yearning and willpower, two things. The basic ingredient of attaining the nisbah is a sincere yearning, longing and fervor and desire and zeal to attain the destiny before embarking upon this journey. This phrase is a compound of two words, sincere and yearning. Thus one should have a yearning, but it should be sincere as well. The first step to anything is yearning. The second is striving. One is talab and then one is effort and mujahada. And the last is attaining. How can one attain something as glorious as the pleasure of Allah without even having a yearning and longing for it? Remember that one can attain numerous things without having a yearning for them. But to attain Allah is impossible without yearning and longing. Allah Himself states in Surah Al-Hud, أَنُلْزِكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ أَنُلْزِكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ. Should we impose it, the guidance and hidayah on you, and you should be such that you dislike it in such a state? No. Hence the first step is yearning. The next step is to refine it into a sincere yearning, two words. It means to have a completely pure and clear intention to attain the nisbat of Allah Ta'ala, free of any hesitation. Just as a disciple would go to his sheikh for years, but did not attain anything at all. And so he complained to his sheikh about this one day. His mentor asked, "What do you imply by islah, rectification?" To which he said, "Hazrat, the blessing that I will attain from you, I will spread it unto others." The sheikh said, "The fault lies in this niyat intention of yours. You wish to become a sheikh from the first day. What will you ever gain then?" So your niyat was never correct. So one should clear the heart of this evil intention and simply intend to learn how to obey the Lord, the Master, and learn how to thank Him should be the niyat. Alongside a sincere yearning, one must possess intense zeal, implying intense willpower. If someone yearns a lot, but does not possess any willpower to attain the goal, he can never achieve it. To attain the glorious nisbat with Allah Ta'ala, one needs immense determination. A person should burn all his ships and engage in self-control. This is within his control. But to grant the nisbat is in Allah Ta'ala's. The pious saints have noted that until the seeker becomes a reeker of self-annihilation, he cannot attain anything. This statement implies that one should have the willpower to leave anything. One should have the willpower to leave anything in the course of his duty towards attaining the nisbah. Hazrat Khwaja Muhammad Masoom, Rahmatul Alayh, A pious saint states, what is tasawwuf? Tasawwuf is another name for anxiousness. If there is no anxiousness, there is no tasawwuf. This implies that a person should remain anxious, that every passing moment should be spent in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala and His obedience. Anyone who leaves this worry deters from the path of tasawwuf. Once a man came to become a murid of Hazrat Abdul Qadir Raipuri, rahmatullahi, at the Khanqah, he saw people engage in different acts of worship at all times. Upon seeing this, he mentioned amongst his friends that I will not be able to grind such wheat. When the words reached Hazrat rahmatullahi, he said in a gathering, friends, these people think that their share has already been segregated and they simply have to come here, pick it up and leave. But no one achieves anything here without striving for it. Some days passed and he learned that the man had again uttered such words. This time with a lot of fervor, Hazrat said, if you all know of a house where ready-made bread is available, I am willing to take my basket and tag along with you people. My friends complain about the pains of grinding the wheat, while I say that this comes at a later stage. First, the land is tilled. Then the seeds have to be scattered all over and watered. Then the finished crop is cut. Then the wheat separated. And then the turn for grinding it into flour comes. Then the flour is ground into prepared dough, and then the dough needs to be cooked. After being cooked, one needs to tear off a piece and put it into his mouth. After all this endeavor, if it is digested, then it is a blessing of Allah. Otherwise, it can come right back out through vomiting. Someone once said, Hazrat, a mother is so merciful that she wakes up the sleeping child to feed it. The mashayikh are more merciful than a mother. Why not keep such hopes with them? Hazrat replied, the duty of the mother is to only hold the baby to her breast. If the child does not suckle, then is there a lack in the mother's mercy? Thus it is known that willpower and sincere yearning are the stepping stones of this path. Willpower and sincere yearning are the stepping stones of this path. None of the mashayikh possess a remedy for lack of determination or sluggishness. According to Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alay, the cure for laziness lies in liveliness. It's the only cure, says Thanvi rahmatullah alay. The cure for laziness lies in liveliness. The Naqshbandi Nisba is such an established one that the mashayikh write, other than the laziness of the seeker himself, nothing stands in his way, only his laziness. There is a common misconception amongst the people that those who possess this light can control anyone's will and thus automatically instill the ability to attain the nisbah. This is foolish thinking. We do not refute the incidents that have been written in books regarding some saints. Sometimes people have certain special states that serve as a substitute for the required self-control, and thus with the indication from Allah, the mashayikh infuse the light of nisbah into them. However, such incidents are rare and do not form the basis for rules of this path. The general rule is that one needs to strive and practice self-control, determination, zeal as the two words These are the two words that we should remember: willpower and sincere yearning, stepping stones of this path. Willpower and sincere yearning, two stepping stones. We do not The general rule is that one needs to strive and practice self-control, while the guidance and prayer of the Shaykh act as a supplement and a help. Clean in the inner. Once a person has made a strong commitment, the next step is to clean the inner. This process is twofold. Firstly, cleaning whatever impurities exist, and secondly, protecting oneself from any further impurity. To clean the existing impurity, we utilize the guidelines of attaining the nisbah while we remain conscious to accomplish the second task. When we are able to achieve this twofold state, the light of nisbah begins to shine within us. So, guidelines of attaining the nisbah. Everyone who aims to achieve the light of nisbah should adopt the following principles. It is hoped that Allah Ta'ala would make him reach his destination with ease. Number one, remaining in a state of wudu. Allah Ta'ala holds purity and cleanliness very dear to him. Allah states, "Inna Allaha yuhibbut tawwabin." Allah loves those who make tawbah. "Wa yuhibbul mutatahirin." He loves those who keep themselves pure. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The basis of religion is purity." He also said, "Cleanliness is shatrul iman, half of faith, mishkat." Thus, the first step towards the nisbah is purity. And the very goal of tasawwuf is to clean the inner self inside. However, the first step is to clean one's external. The seeker who devotes himself to keeping his external clean will have the effects of it reflected on his inner and thus reach his destination with considerable ease. This is why the mashayikh instruct their disciples to remain in a state of wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always remain in a state of wudu, and thus he said, "The one who remains steadfast in remaining in a state of wudu, his death is that of a martyr." At another point he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Adopt steadfastness, avoid sluggishness and laziness, and know that the best deed from amongst your deeds is salat, and none other than a believer guards his wudu." Another hadith states, the wudu, ablution, wudu is the weapon of a believer. How is wudu a weapon of a believer? And that performing wudu, said the Prophet alayhi salam, while already being in wudu, is nur upon nur, nur upon nur. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take such care of remaining in wudu that once he performed tayammum, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, "Oh, Ya Nabi Allah, water is present over there. Perform wudu through it." He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I don't know if I will reach that point, lest death overcome me." And thus he performed the tayammum before. Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah would say that if we were to analyze the state of our heart, we would find a clear difference before wudu and after wudu. This fact has been witnessed over and over, that the seeker who keeps wudu all the time, whether sleeping, eating, waking, etc., finds spiritual progression very quickly. The blessings of wudu manifest by a special light and sanctity coming onto such a person's heart, leading to what? The focus of the heart and protection from satanic whispers that create confusion. This is the reason why wudu has been referred to as the weapon of the believer. Just one more point before azan. Khwaja Fazl Ali Quraishi Ali Rahma would motivate his disciples to remain in a state of wudu. Once he stepped into the dining area whilst the dinner mat had been laid down for guests, he addressed everyone and said, "O fakirs, listen to this advice with the ears of your heart. The food that has been placed before you, when the crop for it was being cultivated, it was done in wudu. When it was watered, it was done in wudu. When it was cut, it was done in wudu. When the wheat was separated from the seeds, it was done in wudu. The wheat was then ground to make flour, also in wudu. The dough was prepared with wudu. The bread was baked with wudu, and it was put before you with wudu. How good would it be if you would eat it whilst being in wudu. So the guidelines and nisbah, the first step is to be in a state of wudu. Next class we will talk about the second step, and this is now from here how to achieve the nisbat. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilaik. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live. Oh.